You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The prison population in the United States has reached an all-time record. The director of the Bureau of Justice Statistics has called the recent increase in the number of men and women behind bars as the largest growth in the 65 years of prison population statistics. Obviously, a percentage of these inmates are hardened criminals. They often stubbornly refuse to accept responsibility for their crimes. But many other prisoners recognize the seriousness of their offense. Often they write our office in response to our gospel broadcast, and regularly they tell of the loneliness, the discouragement, and even the despair that frequently fills their prison cell. So today we know that some of you are listening from inside a prison. For this reason, we want to include you in today's Christ-centered and Bible-based message of encouragement and hope. Today, we examine a section of the Bible describing one of our blessed Savior's most touching times of ministry. The disciples of Jesus were becoming anxious and even discouraged. Their master had been saying for several years that it would be necessary for him to be crucified. This was to fulfill the words of the Old Testament prophets. And to make things even more confusing, Jesus was then talking about leaving them. He was going to depart and no longer be with them. And so the question immediately arose, where were they to go? What were these loyal disciples now to do? They had pinned all their hopes and their entire future upon this God-man, this Jesus who healed the sick and raised the dead. Now he was talking about leaving, and where were they supposed to go? So now as we come to our Bible-based text for today, we are hearing one of the most intimate and encouraging talks that our Lord ever gave his discouraged disciples. When I leave, Jesus said, I will send you a helper. This helper, Jesus explained, would be the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father. This Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will bear witness of me. Obviously, Jesus fully understood that his disciples would need strength and support. They would need a power and fortification that no human agency or authority could ever provide. Not long after the Savior's glorious ascension into heaven, horrible sufferings and torture of the first Christians began. Jesus foresaw that this would happen. This suffering is recorded in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. The believers were mocked and scourged. They were chained and imprisoned. They were stoned, the Bible says. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated. They wandered in deserts and mountains. They lived in caves. They existed from day to day by living in holes in the ground. And so as we think, even in our day of prisoners of war, and as we see how they are tortured in order to break them down, we are forced to ask the question, how was it possible for the early Christians to maintain their faith under similar and even worse conditions? The answer is clear. They were recipients of the power and strength of the Holy Spirit promised by the Savior. And still today, Jesus promises unto all his followers the Holy Spirit. This Spirit, this divine power, is also called the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is not some fleeting emotion. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Holy Trinity. All attempts in history to perfectly explain the person and the work of the Holy Spirit have always fallen short. Nevertheless, for our own understanding today, permit me to use this comparison. When a person dies and his spirit leaves his body, all that is left is a cold and lifeless shell. And so, in a sense, we can say that all men have a spirit of life. And when they die, this spirit of life leaves the body. In our text for today, Jesus promised that he would send a special divine spirit. And this spirit, this person, is called God the Holy Spirit. This spirit comes to live within the heart of believers in order to strengthen and to encourage them. The Church of Jesus Christ, when it is alive, when it is healthy and vigorous, it is always proclaiming its complete reliance upon the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 century after the Reformation, the great hymn writer Heinrich Held expressed that faith possessed by the Christian Church, a faith made possible by the comforting and strengthening work of the Holy Spirit. In his great hymn of praise, Mr. Held wrote, "If our soul can find no comfort, if despondency grows strong, and the heart cries out in anguish, 'Oh my God, how long, how long?' Comfort then our aching breast, grant it courage, patience, and rest. And when life's frail thread is breaking, then assure us more and more, as the heirs of life unending, of the glory there in store." And so now, finding strength by singing these hymns which extol the power of God the Holy Spirit is not exactly what the world today believes. In a lengthy interview with the chairman of the President's Council on Physical Fitness, this chairman stated that the secret to life lies in one's self. "We all possess," he said, "a great inner power." Now, of course, no one would deny that this is a fact of life. There is a place in life for a positive attitude. God did not make us to live and to act like robots. God expects us, you and me, to use the talents and the many abilities He has given us. But for anybody to claim that the secret to life is to rely on one's own inner power is absolutely nonsense. This man-centered claim can quickly be tested by spending a few hours in the hospital wards of the terminally ill. Make no mistakes, the majority of these patients realize one thing clearly. No amount of human-generated inner strength is going to save them. No amount of positive attitude is going to rescue them. Their only help and hope and strength lies in our merciful God and in our Lord Jesus Christ, who has promised us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of comfort, and the Spirit of strength. This promise of the Savior to send into our wavering hearts the stabilizing strength of the divine spirit of hope is indeed fitting for all of us today. Life in the 20th century is not easy, especially as a Christian. The devil is daily battering away at our faith. But as we struggle on, we must always remember, never once did Jesus, the righteous Redeemer, ever counsel His followers to seek a station in life absent of conflict. The world is confused. The devil, the prince of deception, is constantly at work. And so you and I need to remain daily in close communion with God. In so doing, we will be truly ready and prepared for the devil's most severe attacks upon us and our families. And so as we make our way through life, let's keep in mind that in His high priestly prayer, Jesus prayed for many things for His disciples. But He did not ask for one thing. Jesus Christ did not ask the Father to remove His followers from this world. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, we read the words of Jesus as He prays to the Heavenly Father. "I did not ask thee," Jesus prayed, "to take the disciples out of this world, but, Father, that you would keep them from the evil one." Our fears in life are frequently financial. Our anxieties often involve conflicts with the world. And many of us also have our private and our personal fears. Our sight fails. Our physical strength disappears. Our poor hearing is often an embarrassment to us. And here again, my friend, our blessed Lord is speaking to you. Don't be afraid and don't worry all the time. No crises will befall you without your Lord's knowledge. The devil will never, ever be permitted to destroy those who place their complete faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as you continue your struggle, remember that the God of grace has promised to send you His Spirit. This Spirit will comfort you, and in so doing, He will also enable you to cope with life in your darkest hour. Jesus never promised a life free from difficulty. But your Savior has promised to guard you, to protect you, and to strengthen you in all of your challenges. Now, as we read the Bible, we see that Jesus spoke very clearly about the help from our Heavenly Father. Jesus also spoke clearly about the life-giving strength from the Holy Spirit. I am now going to read these special words of Jesus directly from the Bible. These words of the Savior are for you. Jesus is speaking about himself, and he also tells us about the inevitable suffering that all of us, including you and me, will experience in this life. But the greatest message lies in our Savior's promise to you and to me that the Spirit of God will give us daily comfort, hourly strength, and the eternal hope through the forgiveness of sins. This was all made possible when Jesus died for your sins and mine on the Calvary cross. Listen now as I read the words of Jesus from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. This has happened so that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause." Now Jesus said, "When the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send unto you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. These things," Jesus said, "I have spoken unto you, that you may be kept from stumbling. Your enemies will make you outcasts from the synagogue. And the time is coming," the Savior said, "the time is coming when everyone who kills you will think that they are offering service unto God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken unto you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them." "And these things," Jesus said, "these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to my Father who sent me. None of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has now filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, shall not come unto you. But if I go away, I will send him to you." Oh, what a comfort you and I can receive from these words of Jesus. The Savior is promising to help you at this hour. Pray unto him, and he will send unto you the Spirit of strength and the Spirit of encouragement. In a hospital in Gainesville, Florida, not long ago, there lived a little boy with a rare skin disease. In order to keep him alive, twice a day, nurses lovingly wrapped this child with gauze soaked in shortening. This wrapping enabled the boy to endure the pain of this illness, a disease so serious that even a touch might kill him. This emotionally moving real-life story must surely draw love and sympathy from every one of us. The tender care of the nurses continued for 8 beautiful years. Finally, however, this 8-year-old child died unexpectedly, and a great wave of grief swept the entire hospital. Nurses were totally overcome with grief, and they wept openly, even uncontrollably. And so, my friend, may this child's valiant fight for life serve as an encouragement for every one of us today. Equally uplifting is the loving example of the dedicated nurses. These earthly angels of help wrapped the one they loved in gauze twice every day in order to protect him. This example we must daily contemplate, for our Heavenly Father also, when we come to him, wraps his arms of grace and mercy around us. He shields us. He protects us. Our Heavenly Father's protection is so sure and so certain that Jesus said, "Even the devil will never be able to pluck us out of our Heavenly Father's guarding hands." And how can we be sure of this? Oh, my friend, it's the Holy Spirit who assures our troubled hearts of this great mercy and love of the Heavenly Father. This Spirit, this life-giving power, can be yours today. Jesus is not offering you an empty promise. Instead of seeking refuge in self-help books or even barbiturates, pray for the Spirit of God. And instead of casting about each hour for a new philosophy or a New Age movement to pick you up, look unto the divine Spirit of all ages. Oh no, Jesus pulled no punches. He did not beat around the bush. Of course, one can understand how these words and promises of Jesus in our text for today may sound a bit unusual. Today, you and I are constantly bombarded by ideologies and slogans of this world, and as a consequence, even we, as Christians, slowly lose our spiritual orientation. It is no wonder then, my friend, it is no wonder that a large segment of our population now seeks to help itself. It looks to itself for help rather than in a gracious and a merciful God. We should not be surprised then that in recent years the rage has become to buy and to read self-help paperback books, audio cassettes, and VCR tapes featuring self-help philosophies are also available by the thousands. Many of the authors of these materials openly admit that they have no qualifications whatsoever to give advice. Nevertheless, driven by unbridled greed, these opportunists recognize the financial potential of the massive human-centered self-help movement, and then these hucksters move in on their victims to make a million. 2 years ago, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch newspaper announced that in the United States today, there are over 500,000, that's right, over a half million individual self-help groups. Often driven by deep personal needs, this self-help movement has become an almost unstoppable fad. Some even call it a cult or a religion. Why? The author of this well-researched St. Louis Post-Dispatch newspaper article asked, why are so many people running to self-help books today? Of course, there are many reasons, but one of the main reasons, according to the author, is that some churches today are no longer preaching to the deep spiritual needs of their members. Oh Lord, we pray today, strengthen those many clergy who are faithful to Thee and Thy Word. And by Thy Spirit, O God, arouse all other clergy to see Thee and Thy glorious power, Thy Holy Spirit. And now, O Heavenly Father, we pray, send Thy Holy Spirit into the hearts and lives of all who are listening to this Thy Word. By the almighty power of Thy Spirit, assure our listeners that Jesus has died to pay for all of their sins and mistakes. O Lord God, move all who are listening today to call upon Thee and Thy Holy Spirit. Assure them of perfect pardon and total forgiveness of all their sin, and by Thy Spirit guarantee in their hearts a blessed place in Thy eternal mansions with Thee forever and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.